Hello everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Thursday night teaching night, and we're still kind of not quite finished with Revelation, the book of Revelation, and I wanted to kind of, I'm going to say bring up to speed Revelation 21 and 22. I'm going to do 22 tonight. Because I still want to work on the New Jerusalem in chapter 21. I wanted to spend more time on it. I didn't have today to spend a lot of time on it, so I figured I'd do 22 and then come back next week and do chapter 21. I want to do more research on the New Jerusalem there. So that's why we skipped 21 tonight and we're doing 22. But I've had quite a day today. Really, really blessed day. And oops, I didn't start. Oh no. I did it again.
There you are.
Yes. Yes, I did it again. All right. Now, Sister Kathy, have we got the solar system here in order and everything's balanced now?
Amen.
Sister Sharon. I'm really in trouble tonight. Well,
yeah.
Amen.
Yep, your daddy called me Kathy. So
yes, I'm talking to Kathy, but I opened up you so you could talk. There we go. That's really good.
Right.
All right. So, Sister Kathy. Well, then we have Gigi and Randy, I hope.
Good evening. Okay. Blessings to you and everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. And then Rita. Hello, Rita.
Good evening, Captain John. And hello to everyone.
All right. Hello back to you. So we've got.
Hey, Chaplain.
There you go.
Yes, I had a call from on my cell phone when the song was just about going off. And so I had to take it. And then somehow it just cut off. So I don't know. She might call back. But it was the lady that was the family from the people I talked about in the mission today. And she wanted to see how it went. So praise God.
Okay. I was going to accuse you of falling asleep.
I am so sleepy, Chaplain. I'm not going to lie. If you don't get a response, I'm sleepy. And I, yeah.
Okay. Well, I have real good news today. We had a meeting. You remember at the morning prayer? I said,
right. Y'all were going.
Yeah. I was going to meet Michael there. Well, we didn't finish till 4:30.
My goodness.
Yeah, it was really, really exciting. I was talking to, at that meeting, I ended up talking to quite a few people. And then I met a Spanish believer there who works for Birthright. And she got a hold of the Brokenhearted brochure, where she said so many of the people, the women that come in there, are all brokenhearted, but I didn't have any more in Spanish. She really needs them in Spanish. This is Pastor Zephaniah. Hold on, please. Hello, Pastor Zephaniah.
Good morning. Oh, it's well, night there.
Good night here.
Yeah.
Now, calling at this time, I'm going to say is good news.
Oh, that's great.
You're calling with good news.
That's great. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Tell me the good news.
The good news, I'm awake. I've been in prayer. This very hard in the morning, 4:15. I need to set up going down to work on those photos, and I send you back your materials to be. You know now your name.
Oh yes,
Lebayan.
It's hard for me to pronounce it, though. I can spell it.
Olebayan.
Olebayan.
Yes, that's the name of the person who preaches the gospel. And it's a very great person, very important person, whom if he wants to speak with the president, he speaks with him directly, because when you have that stick of yours, there's nobody who carries that. So, no, I need to send it back to you.
Yeah, I'll have to get you the funds so you can mail it.
Yeah.
So, tell me about the pictures that you got from the National Archives.
You know, the pictures, you know what I've came to realize? Even if it's 100 years, the government keeps the information. I never knew this. But this is the time I've realized that, because when I went, these people were just putting films in a very big machine, and they switched off everything. So they were just going, they went up to 1964, January. They started squeezing slowly, 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 because that one you cannot get it online. It's not there. It's difficult. Okay. You can't get it.
Okay. Now, hold on, Pastor Zephaniah. Hold on. Let me explain. Oh, he called me. This is very exciting, because as you know, the Maasai and myself, the Maasai tribe in Israel and myself are getting very close now. I mean, and they've given me a title, He Who Preaches the Gospel of Jesus Christ.
Olebayan.
Olabayan. Olabayan.
Yes.
And I had first met the Messiah in person in 1964. Shows you how old I am now. At the New York World's Fair. That was 1964 and 65. And Kenya had a pavilion in there. Thatched roof-like pavilion. And it said Kenya. There was a big sign there, Kenya. So I went in. I think it was the music. And I went in. And it was the first time I've ever seen dancing like that. They basically hop up and down, and they're like 4 feet in the air. There was about 20 of them, and young. I was 16. They were my age, maybe up to 20. And when they stopped, one of them somehow I struck up a conversation with. He was about my age, a little older. And I had a wonderful conversation. I was very, very impressed with the Messiah. The time I spent quite a bit of time with him. I was very, very impressed. So I asked Pastor Zephaniah if I couldn't get anything online about it. I asked him if he would try the National Archives in Nairobi, and he did. And he's found a microfilm there that has records of what happened in the World's Fair with Nigeria, Kenya, excuse me. And I asked if he could get the pictures of the dancers, and apparently you did. So did you find pictures of the dancers?
Yeah, I'm going today. They are going to give me those pictures today because they are going to print it. So I think by today I'm going to create them, and I send them to you.
Okay.
I'll send a hard copy.
Did you see the pictures yet? Did you see them?
Yeah. Oh. In the newsletter. It is called the newsletter.
Okay.
It's almost 60 years back.
Say that all.
61. It's almost 60 years back.
Yes.
But, you know, the government's keeping the information. This one, I talked about it.
Are the pictures nice and clear?
Not very clear, but you can see them. They are very dark.
Okay.
They are not very clear. I'll send you the small video as you were just doing searching.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, did you get a picture of the building that was there?
Yeah.
You got a picture of the Kenya building at the fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm happy. I'm very happy. And we can send, you can send those pictures to the Maasai also.
You know, the leader of the Maasai is coming next week. He will be coming to me.
Okay.
So he will come with the translated materials.
Oh, yeah. And,
I told him that when he comes, we will have a wonderful meeting with him and you. So he's coming. He will spend with me just 1 week. He will stay with me 1 week. He will be able to come online, and he will be able to explain much about the Maasai.
Yeah, you can have him come on during our prayer time.
Yeah, he will come. He will come, sure.
So what happened was the Maasai, someone checked on it, and there's over 2 million Maasai now, people.
Yeah, they'll be. It's a very big, now they are big because they are Maasai in Kenya and Maasai in Tanzania, all of them. There are so many now.
So they have a different language. I guess some of them are bilingual, Swahili, and whatever their language is.
But they speak all languages, different languages, but probably they speak Swahili. Most of them, all of them, they speak Swahili, you know. And that one, each and everybody must know that language because that's the national language we are using here in Kenya. Each and everybody must use the Swahili language.
Yeah, but do they read the other language?
Yeah. Some who are educated, they speak English. Some who are educated, who have gone to school, they speak English. And the arts also others, they speak Maasai language. So many speak that language, Maasai. Each and everybody must speak that because it's a mother tongue language.
Yeah, so what they've done is they translated what the Broken Hearted brochure into Maasai language.
Yeah, they have translated into Maasai language.
Yeah, so we're going to set it up in a brochure and then print several thousand and have the Maasai distribute them to the people there. So we're going to be actually have their own language with the brochure in it. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
We thank God. We thank God.
Well, thank you for the call. I can't tomorrow. You'll have it tomorrow for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is small. This is now tomorrow here, and I'm going now.
Oh.
That's why I wake. Yeah. I'm going down.
Well, I think you're excited too, aren't you, about finding this?
Yeah. You know, I'm very much excited because this is what I've learned something in my life that I never knew.
The Maasai.
You know, each and every day we are here. I've learned something.
But you remember me telling you about it, right? When we first met the Maasai, I told you I had met them in New York City.
Yes. Yeah. But you never knew about the year and the time and the function that they.
Yeah. Yeah, very impressive. Yeah. I was very impressed by the Maasai when I met them 61 years ago. Never forgot it. All right. Well, thank you, Pastor Zephaniah, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow, for my time tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. God bless you. Bye now. All right. Now, Sister Kathy, did that keep you awake?
That pep me up a bit. That was so special, Chaplain. I can't wait. So I'm wondering. Well, he won't have had it by the time you've gone to bed tonight. So it'll be tomorrow before you get to see it. Tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully tomorrow. Yeah.
Because he was saying today is my day.
Well, he's ahead. He's 8 hours, 9 hours ahead of us.
Right, right. It's morning there.
Yeah. So I just hope the quality. Even though if the quality. I don't care. As long as it's seeable, that's all
visible.
I care. Visible. I'd like the quality to be good, but I just want that because it. Hold on, he's contacting me. So, I want the. I just hope it's good. If it's good quality, I want to frame it. Because
if it's dark, it can be lighted up a good bit if there's enough pixels and whatever. But it can be better. It can be improved. In other words,
yeah. So, but I'd love to it and then frame it and have like there's two pictures: the dancers and the pavilion. And then behind me, I'm going to put it behind me, and I'll put the staff there, the scepter.
Oh.
So I'll have the two. Isn't that something, the connection, 61 years ago?
Yep. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, just the odds of that are 42 trillion zillion billion to one.
Yeah. Yeah. I met the Maasai in New York City, and I actually have the date, August 7th, 1964.
Yep. And then you accepted the Lord August the 8th, 1974?
Fourth.
The 4th, okay. All right.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. Any comments, Sister Sharon?
I had just made a comment that this wasn't even close to Revelation chapter 22, and so we were listening.
And since everybody's a part of this, Gigi and Randy, any comments about it?
Yes, I want to know why you never learned how to dance like they do.
Well, see, now I remember part of the dancing and all was they had a shield and a spear. That was part of their dancing. Yeah. And like I say, the man, he was my age. Maybe I was 16. Maybe he was 18, 19. But he spoke very good English. I remember that. I had I could have a full conversation with him in English. Nothing was broken, so that was very impressive also.
Does Pastor think you can find that person?
No. I mean, we speak in this sort of like a headquarters for the Maasai.
So that's
where we speak. But the first time I was there, I shared this with the Maasai, and I asked, "Is anyone aware of that happening in New York? And did anyone go there?" And they had no knowledge of it at all.
Okay. Anyway, it's very interesting. That's wonderful that he was researching it. That's great.
Yeah, I asked him if he would do it. He got all excited. Well, he ran right away. I asked him, and the next day he was in the National Archives doing the searching, and he said that there was a what would you call her? I don't know if you call her a clerk or, but anyway, she was the one that was assigned to him to do the research, and she was really excited about it because it's so unique. You know, back 61 years, she never heard of any of this. New York City, the World's Fair of 1964 and 65. So he told me she was all excited doing this research and then finding it and all. So it wasn't just a routine thing, you know.
Right. Well, she was probably the research librarian.
Yeah, whatever the title would be, research librarian. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right. And then Sister Rita?
Chaplain John, I really don't know what you're talking about.
I've been
trying to phone along, and you guys turned a bend, and I kept on going straight. So,
okay.
I'm happy for you.
All right. And I was 16 years old in 1964. And I didn't live in New York City. I lived outside of it. But that for 2 years, they had the World's Fair there in New York. And I went there. And I have the date I was there with two of my other friends. It was August 7th, 1964. And one of the things I saw while I was there was a pavilion from Kenya. And I went in there. It was in the Maasai were dancing. Like the
Wait, Chaplain John, let me hold you back. What is a Maasai? Is that a person?
Oh, no. The Maasai is it's kind of a famous tribe from Kenya. Actually, they spill over into Tanzania also. So they're very famous. Back in the day, many a century ago, whatever, they would fight lions with spears, and they did all sorts of things. So I met them. There was about 20 of them, and they were all my age. They were young. At that time, I was 16. So now I'm involved with the Maasai. 60 years later, they've made me an elder there, and I preach. I preach there. I've won souls, the Maasai, to the Lord, and all. So that's why I wanted to go back in time and capture the pavilion there. It said Keen. It was a thatched like roof up on top, maybe on the sides too. I think it was, but on the door, big letters, their big word Kenya. So I wanted a picture of the pavilion and a picture of the Maasai there, like the dancers. So Pastor Zephaniah, okay. He went to the Kenyan archives and he found it. So they're getting him, they're going to make, it's on microfilm. So they're going to make, tomorrow they will have the pictures for him.
And that's with the Maasai being in the state fair in 1961 or four?
Four, 64 and 65.
Oh, that's okay. That's really neat. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
So what I want to do, if it's quality, it doesn't have to be quality, but as long as you can see it, I want to frame it, and behind me where I sit here on the wall, I'm going to put the two pictures up, and then the Maasai are giving me a scepter there as a, to show my authority, because I am an ordained elder of the Maasai tribe, bona fide elder of the Maasai tribe. And they've given me the title one, it's either he or one who preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Oh, well, that's great. I think that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got a little sideshow going here, but there we go. All right, Sister Rita.
Thank you for explaining that to me.
Yeah,
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I wanted you to understand it. Okay. So today we had the meeting that went real well, and I met the woman that's with a birthright, Spanish woman. And she wants a lot of the brokenhearted brochures in Spanish. Now, I'm completely out of them. I don't have any. I sent where did I send the last ones to? Mexico. I sent the last ones to Mexico. So I'm going to be – and actually, she's an acquaintance of Michael's. So I'm going to be working through with him to get them the brochures. So that was exciting. And then we had some other meetings there. I met other people. That was very good today. But afterwards, two of the pastors wanted to go to get something to eat. And they invited me to come along. So I came along, and we didn't finish till, it was after four, 4:15 in around there. I got home around 4:30, but, so what happened was they were grilling me a good way. I mean, a really good way. And I ended up praying for one of the pastors about healing his broken heart. And he was crying. He started crying. And he hugged me, and he thanked me so much. He said, I was in bondage and didn't know it, and I was trying to work, study and work and preach and all that to be accepted by God. That's what he said. I see it now. I didn't know it. I see it now. So it was really touching. It was something to see. And then with the other pastor, it was great, just with both of them. And like I said, they were grueling me. I mean, we went up and down scriptures, Sister Kathy. I mean, I was everywhere that you could think of for 3 hours with them. I mean, the time went really fast. I had no idea we were there for 3 hours. And so here's what happened from this. This is what they said to me. Well, the one pastor said to me, he said, I've come to realize that you don't understand this. Nothing bad, but he said, it's very easy for you to pray for the healing the brokenhearted. And he said, I've got, both of them actually said this, that they have all these degrees, masters in theology and all of this. He said, none of it ever came near what you've been teaching and showed me from the word. And it's all true. I know it's all true. He said, I don't know how to do it. I don't know. But this is quote now. He said, you're anointed to do it, and it's easy for you, but it's like impossible for me to do. So after talking to them, what happened was, I said, well, I tell you what, how about I lay hands on you and pray over you?
Oh, man.
Both of them jumped at it. Yes, yes, please, please. So we're going to set up a time, and I'm going to come and pray over them. Because I said, look, do you realize how from the pulpit, one church, it's kind of a big church.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people are there, but it's not small. I mean, and I said, with that, like anointing on you, how many people in your church could have broken hearts like you have, and now you're freeing them from it, the quality of the power in the church, and the, maybe they're all bound up and can't witness, and the release of power. So both of them. Then the one pastor was crying. He was crying.
That is outstanding.
So I'm teaching that like seminar there at Word of Life Church. And what I'm going to do at the last session, I'm going to, because I want them to hear everything. And then at the last session, I'm going to call to see who would want to be prayed over, laid hands on for the release of, that they could also pray with people for healing of the brokenhearted. And I think this is the way it's going to get out, Sister Kathy, because for the life of me, I can't understand why it did. I don't understand it. But
well, it's just time now.
Yeah, it's time now. They are like lost. It's they said, I can't. I don't know. It's like bondage inside or something. I don't know. I said, just follow Luke 4:18. It's not that easy. It's not that easy, they're telling me. So there we go, folks. I spent 3 hours, I guess 3 hours with them today. And we went from Genesis to Revelation through the scriptures. I mean, it was, what about this? What about that? What about this? And I was showing them, you know, all sorts of, and they agreed with everything, and yeah, they know that they need to be able to minister to people for healing the brokenhearted. So I'm going to pray over them and lay hands on. And then when I
finished, Michael was there the whole time.
No, Michael was not there. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. No. But then when I finish at Word of Life, I'm going to present the same thing. You know, pray over people to give them the release of power so that they can minister to people and release the, because it's the resurrection power.
Yeah.
What it's being released is when we come to Christ, it's the second part of the gospel, his resurrection, of course, which is a doctrine that we all believe. But it says, the scripture says there in Romans 6:4, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we should also walk in newness of life. There you go, newness of life.
That's it.
That's the resurrection power, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
So we want to keep that in prayer. We want to keep that in prayer. So it'll probably be 3 to 4 weeks before I'm at that point to pray with people and lay hands on them. All right. So I'm talking to you and Sharon. Gigi, any comment on that? Sister Rita, any comment?
I'm sorry, John. I didn't hear the last part of what you said.
Oh, I was just talking about when I'm teaching a seminar, kind of a seminar now.
Oh, yeah.
And the last class there, I want to, anyone that wants power to pray with people for healing their broken heart, you know, I want to pray over you and lay hands on you, lay hands and pray over you. So I'm going to open it up to the whole class. to pray on them, pray for them.
And that's,
and the pastor's there too. I'll tell them ahead of time to see if they want to be prayed over.
And this is praying over people so they can pray over people.
Yes, because people find this very difficult. They find it very difficult, but it's not difficult for me. So I want to release that anointing on them. So hopefully we'll have thousands and millions of people with that preaching the resurrection power of Christ and freeing them. And I think the word will get out. Drug addicts are instantly healed. Homosexuals are set free. People suicidal are filled with joy. That's the real gospel. That salvation in Christ and living in the resurrection power. That's the real gospel, the full gospel.
Amen. Amen. You're going to pray over us so we can do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I've actually been thinking about asking you about that.
See the timing.
Yep, I did, because we went to this church that they do an outreach in the neighborhood. Randy ended up praying for one of the people there, but you know, they're really down and out, and they all have broken hearts. It's very clear. So that's great. I'm excited.
All right. Yeah. Okay, Sister Rita. I'm back with you now. What do you think of what's going on?
I think it sounds really, really good. A lot of people will be blessed by you doing that, laying hands on them and praying over them.
Yes.
And I think it's just great. Thank the Lord God.
Yeah, because we want this out. I mean, the power that just... the body of Christ with healed hearts and their mindset free would increase the power here in the church tenfold, maybe 100.
Right. Yes.
Okay. And hey, maybe we'll keep this a secret, even though it's being broadcast out. One of my goals in this, and I said this years ago, maybe 30 more years ago, that I'd love to see Christian psychologists put out of business, unless they want to preach healing the brokenhearted in the name of Jesus and laying hands on people. But there's no need for psychology within the body of Christ.
No, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
They don't have the answer.
Right, right, right. Psychology is not the answer. And then we have Twizzle here. Hello, Sister Twizzle. Okay. All right. Let's go back and spend some time in Revelation 22. We're in Revelation.
Brother John?
Yes.
Hello. I have the muting problem. I had a muting problem.
Have you been hanging out with Sister Sharon?
Yes, of course.
Now that's where you get the muting problem from.
Yes.
There we go.
Indeed.
Yeah.
It's contagious.
We know how to distribute the problem.
It's contagious.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is contagious.
Okay.
I just wanted to say something about this praying for the brokenhearted.
Yes.
You know, ever since I got that first brochure, I think maybe 2 years ago, I'm just saying, for lack of any better timing, you know, I gave that, started passing out those out of church, and pastors have been praying for people as part of the salvation.
Wow.
Since then.
Wow.
And I've been praying for people. I mean, I don't find it difficult at all, because we all have these doggone broken hearts.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, it was interesting for me to hear you saying that the pastors were finding it difficult. I wonder if they're believing God actually for anything else in their prayers.
I don't know. You know, I don't.
It just comes to mind.
Yeah. Well, they really are interested in this. We're going to do it.
And yeah, yeah.
I think that this is a launching point now. because the two pastors are well received in the area, and if when it hits them and they start telling other pastors, and that I think this is the big breakthrough I've been waiting for, because for the life of me I couldn't understand why, because I shared this with so many pastors and it never went anywhere, never. So this might be the big breakthrough.
Amen.
And
that'll be cool.
Just think about it.
I pray that it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. Let me say one other thing before I forget it. I went to New York World's Fair .64.com, and there's a picture of the Kenyan building.
No.
And the African,
really?
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm not lying.
Oh, I don't care.
The whole thing is set up there. The whole thing is set. Who constructed it? You know, and how much money they spent for it?
Is it done in like the thatch? Is it thatch roof on it and all?
Just a minute. I got to go back to that. Yeah, it's round it, like cones.
Yes, it's got a cone up on top. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, do they show you a picture
at it right now.
On the inside?
Let me see. It says the features. No, it's just on the outside.
Could you email me that link?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will.
I really appreciate that. That is exciting.
Yeah, that was pretty much fun as you were sitting here chit-chatting about it. I'm looking at it. Okay. Yeah, I will send it to you, and then and I sent it to Sister Kathy already. If anybody wants to get it from her, I sent it to her.
Okay, yeah, because
I'm on the iPad now, and it don't work like the laptop.
I'll definitely put a nice frame. I would spend a little money to get that quality. You know, I want it quality.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, wait.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see what else Brother comes up with.
Okay.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
All right. You got my email? Yeah, you be bumped.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
I got it. Yeah. Cool. Okay.
All right. I'm so excited.
You know what? I'm so glad that the Lord give us the word in the way that he's given us the word, because it's nothing like keeping you godly men busy.
Right.
Seriously, I mean that seriously.
You've taken my breath away. That's so funny.
Well, get some water and try to get it back.
But you know, the thing about Chaplain John and Twizzle, here we are, sitting here talking, miles and miles apart, through the internet, and you both were at the 64 New York World's Fair. Who would have ever thought that the two of you would be talking about it, so far away, never met each other and everything. And just to me, this is part of what's so amazing about what's going on.
Amen.
Well, amen. I didn't go to the fair. I'm looking at it online.
Oh, okay.
I didn't go, but I'm looking at it online.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's really interesting too, that this would happen in 64 and 65, and then Brother John bump up and become a elder.
Right.
And
that's what I'm saying.
And he was never thinking about that when he was 16 years old. He was not thinking about being no Messiah elder. I know he wasn't. No.
I agree.
No, but I can say that the whole interaction with them, it wasn't only the dancing. It was the talking to the I only talked to one of them, and he spoke excellent English, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had a lengthy conversation with him. So it was a combination of the dancing, very athletic. I mean, some dancing,
very athletic.
Yeah, some dancing doesn't have to be really athletic, but their dancing was very, very athletic, which caught my attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I never forgot it. Indeed, in my mind, I can see the details of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, anyway, I just say God is amazing. That's what I say. He's just amazing how he does things. That's all I say.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And,
okay, well, I'm going to, what?
No, with Sister Kathy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're aware. I don't know if everybody, well, I might as well share this, and then we'll get into Revelation 22. When I went to the World's Fair, and they, it was the reason I know it was August 7th is when I went there, the first thing that I remember was there was a, I guess you would call them pavilions, and there was one there for a Bible society or something, Bible. And of course, at that time, I never even read John 3:16. So I came walking by, and there was a guy out there kind of trying to get you to come in to the pavilion. And what they had was they wanted the Bible handwritten, one verse. So I don't know. I think I found out there's 36,000 verses in the Bible. Someone told me that.
31.
31. So they wanted 31,000 people there, and each person would sign, print one verse in the Bible. So I said, they said, yeah, please. We want from people from all over the world and to sign. I said, okay. All right. So I signed it, and they gave me a card, like a business card. And on it, it had the date. It had the Bible verse. They wrote it on it. And then it had the name of the society, but I've had this for 61 years or 62 years, I guess now. And I have it in a scrapbook. I'm looking at the book right now as we're talking. So I knew I had it in that book. I knew it. So I went through the book and there I found it. And I want to try and get the name of the Bible Society and see if I can track down that book, which I signed 62 years ago, and get like the page, you know, that I'm on, get a copy of that. So that would be really, really, I really want to do that. And the verse is 2 Chronicles 7:12, and it's just before, it's the lead in to verses 13 and 14 about if my people will call by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face.
Seek my face.
Yeah, I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Mm-hmm. So I'm right there. I'm at verse 12, and 13 and 14 is about national repentance, which of course I preach and teach.
Unbelievable.
So I want to.
And you did say, and I want to make sure everybody knows, when you went, you never had probably even had a Bible in your hand for more than 1 second. You know, I mean, you just were not familiar with it.
No, I wasn't.
And now signed it, and 10 years later, you got it.
almost to the day I came to the Lord, mm-hmm. 10 years later. And then, you know, one of the things I preach and all is, and we pray here, is repenting and calling for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and God healing America. So that verse that I signed in August 7th, 1964 is right there for 2 Chronicles. Well, see, if you read it, it's actually 13 and 14 go together.
Mm-hmm.
So 12 is the lead in to the repentance and the God healing the land.
Amazing.
So this is big. I mean, Zephaniah called in, and he's got the Maasai dances there, and then Sister Twizzle. I'm sure that her picture will be sharper than the one, but I want the one he sends too, because that's from the day.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And then I'll send him the one that Twizzle's sending me. So he can have that also. He can show them the sign that I'm sure they'll be excited about this, just as we are. What a connection.
Chaplain John, I've never heard Zephaniah so excited going to that archive. It just did something to him that's going to catapult him somewhere else.
Yes, he is very excited about it. Very, and he told me even the research librarian there.
Yeah,
she was very excited, going all the ways like she never went back that far and dug it up, and then found it.
Yep. Amazing.
Yeah, and Zephaniah said he heard me talk about it, but he didn't connect the dates. I'm sure I said 1964. He didn't pick that up. So, you know, Lord, thank you. This is a wonderful, the blessings of today continue.
Amen.
Continue.
Well, Chaplain, rather than you doing 22 of Revelation, you don't want to just go ahead and do praying since we got a Pope and there's so much to pray and praise him for and it's already 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
I mean, I just was thinking.
No.
Wondering.
What I'll do is, because I want to do a real nice workup on Revelation 21 and the New Jerusalem. So that's what we'll do next week, and then it's Revelation 21. And I'm going to work on some artist's rendition of it to get it looking real nice, if I can find it. All right. So let's come back. And there I am. Sister Kathy and everyone there, I don't think it would be too hard for me to find. Would you like to see that card from August 8th,
1964? Oh, yes, I think especially, and you could see if it's the American Bible Society or wherever it is.
I just sent you a thing that
Gigi sent. And you can show that on the internet. It's the Messiah in their place doing their jumping, big time lateral jump. Or what is that called when they jump straight up in the air?
Vertical.
Vertical jump, yeah. Lateral would be sideways.
So what I wanted to add a little bit more to this is I left this pavilion where you sign the Bible. And I remember walking to my right, and I left the building. I walked to my right, and I don't know if it was right there or I had to walk a ways, but there was the pavilion for Kenya. And I saw big letters over the front door, Kenya, and it was shaped with the cone there, and it was all thatched. And I heard the music, and it was very nice. It had nice rhythm to it and all. So I kind of went over and stuck my head in and looked, and there were the Maasai dancers. They were dancing. And I was looking at the athleticism, and and I said, wow. So I went in and I stayed. And I stayed the whole time there while they were dancing, and then it was over. It was the young guy, there were two rows, and I was off to from their right. If from their position, I was on the right, standing close to them at the edge. So the guy that was right at the edge there, he knew English, so I guess he could strike up conversation. So he struck up a conversation with me. And so I'm standing there talking to him for quite a while. It wasn't just a little bit. And he told me lots of history about the Maasai and rituals that they did that. I don't know if they still do it, but they had rituals for a boy to become a man. One of the things I remember, they had to run kind of a long distance, and they took water in their mouth, and when they ran long distance, when they came back, they had to spit it out. So if they swallowed the water, it was no good. You couldn't pass to become a man till you, and I don't know what the distance was. I can't tell you, but it wasn't 100 yards. I know that it was more like a mile or two. So they had to run a mile or two out in the prairie then and come back and have that water still in their mouth. That was one of the tests to become a man. So, we're going to lead in prayer now?
Well, do you want to see that thing of that I sent you from Gigi? I think you will love it.
All right. How did you send it to me?
in Messenger.
Okay. All right.
It's a video, and it's, I think it's just a very short video. Well, you know what? I sent the one from Twizzle 2, and so you should have two, actually, from me. One is, you should have it both. I see it on mine that you got it. Maasai Warriors, The Art of Jumping Dance.
Okay.
And above it is the one where you can look with the one for Twizzle, that it would have more than just that picture. I think it's a whole edition kind of thing.
Okay, I posted this out now. Does this look like it's mostly females?
No, it looks like men to me. You see the red, right?
Yeah, that's the type of shawl, I guess they're going to send
yes.
me.
Yeah, now, that's your...
Now, yes.
Your elder uniform.
Right. Now, the stick that they have is, mm-hmm. The one I'm getting is half that size, and there's a lot of work done on it. I don't know if it's painted or more like yarn, you know, colored yarn. But they have other things on it, and that's the scepter, I guess you would call it. So, yeah, the stick I'm getting is not like these, not as long as these, the biggest ones. Okay, so let's
You're not
see.
Getting the dance stick. You're getting the power stick.
Yeah, the authority stick. Yeah. Now, that big guy over here to the right, that's the type of jumping. What I saw, the dancing was not like this at all. They had more, what do you want to call it? They weren't clothed like this. And they had shields. They had shield and a spear. And that's the dancing they were doing with the shield and the spear. But they weren't clothed like that. It was more... If you were running out in the woods and stuff, that's how they would dress. This one guy here can really jump. What I saw was unison. You know, they were all they were dancing in unison.
Wonder what the purpose of that is. I mean, I know there's some reason for it, but what in the world could be the significance for it?
I don't know. It's some ritual.
Very interesting.
Well, here's something here. How to become a Maasai warrior.
Mm.
Oh, this is a whole bunch of stuff here. I triggered it here. This is from Facebook. No, is this YouTube? No, this is YouTube. So, yeah, there's the Maasai people, Maasai warriors. How to become a Maasai warrior. Huh.
And you say there's 2 million of them now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a pretty hefty number.
Now I'm going to be watching a whole bunch of this now. Thank you. But Sister Kathy, I don't see, you said the second one.
No, the first one, the one above Gigi's was Twizzle's. But she's going to send it to you too, but I just was sending it to anybody I had on Messenger, and I just went ahead and sent one to you.
Okay, so that one there is just from me. That's just mine there. I just won the Maasai
John?
Dancing. Yes.
I'm sorry. I did find the jumping performed by men allows them to showcase their ability and prowess, and it also can be to attract a mate. And the higher a man can jump, allegedly, the stronger he is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To me, their little legs did not look muscular at all. They look kind of wacky birdie.
Yeah. Just little twig legs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Does that cover everything from now that we you want me to show?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, and thank you, Gigi.
Okay, so let's get in here and get some prayer going on.
Well, tell us what you think about the Pope and what the significance of that is.
He's being American. Exactly like the one before him. He's already he's been bad-mouthing Trump and Vance politically.
Yeah.
About immigration.
So you don't think it has there's no bearing that it's beneficial at all that he's American.
Oh, he's American.
He's so contrary to everything.
Yeah, he's American. He's from Chicago.
Yeah.
And, but I don't, he's got right now off the bat, I was looking at things that he posted and wrote and all, and he's bad-mouthing Vance and Trump over the immigration policy. That's enough for me.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
He's a hard leftist.
Yes, he is.
So, and here's what happened. There's a Vigario is his name. He's a cardinal in the Catholic Church. And they excommunicated him last year because he's blowing the whistle all the time on this Pope. And this Pope and the system in Rome, they're deeply embedded, or the Masonic Lodge is deeply embedded in the Catholic Church, one way or the other. And he's warning that this Pope and the people around him are bending the Catholic Church to fit into the Masonic Lodge. So what he said was, this Pope's old now, but he's put in place a whole bunch of cardinals, a bishop, a cardinal and a bishop's the same thing, that are just like him. So that when he passes on, the next Pope that they have put in place will continue his agenda. And Vigario is his name. If I see anything posted by him, I read it, because even though he's not getting into Catholic doctrine, he's talking about what with the direction of the Catholic Church and what's going on. And that's very important, because the Catholic Church is going to be a big player in the tribulation period. I think it's going to be the core of the Whore of Babylon. And so they've got to change anything in the Catholic Church, like believing in the Trinity and the cross and all of that. So we'll wait and see with this guy, but I think he's going to be just like the previous Pope. And already he's involved in immigration. So he wants open borders? Are you kidding me? You know? So
they need to open the doors to the papacy if they want us to open our doors.
Yeah, the Vatican there in Rome. Take about 10,000 legal aliens. We got plenty here.
Yep.
We'll supply it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So that's my take on it. And something big is going on, I think, in Saudi Arabia, because Trump's going over there next week. He's going to Saudi Arabia. I think he's going to be there for 3 days. So I expect Saudi Arabia is going to join the Abrahamic covenant thing that they got going. And Saudi Arabia is going to pump a lot of money into the United States, which gets dangerous, because I hope Trump doesn't get snookered, Sister Kathy, into things going great with Saudi Arabia, and they're going to pump a lot of money in here. And they want Israel to stop the war in Gaza. And, you know, I mean, that it could be like a little subtle type of bribery. But whatever happens, I hope he doesn't tamper with Israel in the wrong way, Sister Kathy. You
know? Amen. And that's one reason we need to pray so much. Between that and him being over there for 3 days, that is some big old danger potential for a wipeout.
Yeah. I'm almost sure it's 3. I wasn't paying that much attention to it, but I'm almost sure it's 3 days.
Oh.
Yeah, 3 days he's going to be there. But I can see Saudi Arabia, you know, dangling $1 trillion in front of them. You know,
oh, yeah.
We'll pour in $1 trillion over 5 years or 10 years, whatever it is. And that's a big temptation.
Yes.
But they're not going to do it out of the goodness of their heart. They're going to do it because they got something in return.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is for sure.
All right. In the college campuses, it's getting vicious. Columbia University and the University of Washington, they're calling for a worldwide intifada. They're calling for the destruction of America and Israel. So there was 80-something arrested at Columbia and I think 30 at the University of Washington. Harvard will not repent. Harvard is hardened, unrepentant sinners, and they won't repent of targeting the Jews and the Jewish students there on campus and supporting Hamas, which is a designated terrorist group. So they've lost millions of dollars, and they just laid off 180 employees. Then they're intransigent. They are going to stick it out. So I think, Sister Kathy, that Harvard is signing its own death warrant.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Who's going to go to that school? Hardness of the hard? Is that what it's going to be? So I would expect their enrollment to drop, and there's more money that the federal government's going to help hold back. And supposedly, the State Department's working on blocking all foreign students to go to Harvard.
Praise God.
Yeah. So it's coming. It's coming. You could see it. And Trump is not the guy to fool around with now.
No. No, he wrote the book on the play.
Order the deal.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing about this Pope now. There's something funny about him. Does it fit a Pope from the United States? And I mean, already...
Twitzel.
Yeah, go ahead, Sister Kathy.
Twitzel said that Charlie Kirk said he was a registered Republican.
Oh,
but
wow.
He sure isn't in dogma.
Yeah, registered Republican. I mean, my congressman here is a Republican, and he loves Lynn Cheney. He defended Lynn Cheney.
In name only. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Rhino.
Yeah.
He defended Lynn Cheney, and he had, you know that? She's a firebrand there from Georgia. Green?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. Yeah, her and this guy's name is Crenshaw. Man, they did everything but duke it out. It was she blew the whistle on this congressman here. He's in there like 4 years, and he's making millions of dollars on the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
So she blew the whistle on him, and he said, good investment. It was a good investment. And she said, no, you're bought off. You're bought off. And oh, they
were. Go, Marjorie.
It was ugly. Mm-hmm. But she's a firebrand. Wow.
She is.
So that's who we have. They're compromised. The system is set up like that McConnell guy. Oh, my goodness. Is he a crook? The senator from Kentucky.
Yeah, he hadn't just started being one. I don't think he ever was not one.
His wife. Well, I think it's his second wife. I think his first wife died. Well, I know it's his second wife, but she's Chinese. She was born in China.
Yeah, a rich, rich Chinese.
Well, here's what happened, folks. This is how the corruption works. He's the leader of the Senate, and he was able to get legislation through that favored China. That's what Trump is doing. He's ripping the Republicans with these tariffs as much as the Democrats here. They and he's pulling the legs out from China, because they've got what they're doing is everything favors them, and year by year and year, our manufacturing base, it goes to China, because they sell it much cheaper there than it can be made in America. That's what Trump is doing. He's breaking this monopoly, but the monopoly, these tariffs and all, are set up by Congress there. So it greatly favors China. It's doing everything to undermine America. So special legislation or legislation became law about trading with China, which greatly benefited McConnell's Chinese wife, whose father is a big time, like, multi-millionaire in China.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So about a year or two or three after that, he loves his daughter so much, he gave her a $30 million gift. $30 million she got. And her husband happened to be the one promoting the legislation that made her father make millions and tens of millions off of it.
Terrible.
And Pelosi and her husband are worth $300 million.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And that Maxine Waters.
Oh, her too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obama has got like $100 million.
Did you see that Michelle said that she had to pay for the food in the White House? Everything is, you have to pay.
Oh, that poor thing.
I know it. I'm like, oh, and if you fly on the airplane, you have to pay for, you know, if her children go, they have to, I'm like, mm-hmm.
Oh, that's terrible. It makes you want to cry, doesn't it?
It does. It's like, don't waste any tears on her, somebody said. It's like, number one, it's baloney, but.
So here we go. This is what a time we live.
Yeah.
What a time. And, folks, everything is upside down now. We had these old allegiances that were made after World War II with the Europeans. And we fit together with them. And we worked together against the threat of communism and the Soviet Union and their nuclear weapons, and NATO was formed. We were all behind that, and we built up Europe, and so destroyed it. It was called the Marshall Plan, and we put tens of millions of dollars into Europe to build it up. We did the same thing with the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed. They want war now with Russia, and they want us to be the one to fight the war for them.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Yeah. And they have all these tariffs against us, and we hardly have any tariffs against them. Them and the Chinese are bleeding the strength of America out and giving us debt. So that's what he's doing. But they no longer have our values anymore. Big time abortion, big time homosexuality. They are spying on their people. No one now in England and France and Germany. There's a couple countries left. Romania, Hungary, and Poland is gone. I don't know who is, Lithuania maybe. But all these other ones, they are totalitarian now. They will allow no one like conservative, like pro-life, let's say, things like that. They won't allow you to become elected. So Vance went over there at some speech and warned them what they were doing. And that's against our values. It's against the Western values, which we fought for. I said, you're invoking what the communist Russians did. So it's so bad that Trump told the Germans that we're no longer going to cooperate with them because of what they're doing to their political party. He said, we can't trust you anymore. We don't have the same values. That's how bad it is. They are destroying the opposition just like they tried to do to Trump. Exactly what they're trying to do to Trump. The Germans are now, and the Germans are opening the floodgates for the Muslims to come in. So Europe and France and Great Britain wants to put like a surcharge crime on white people that are found guilty of a crime. They want to give them extra penalty because they're white. It's coming into play right now. Where's that coming from? It's like bizarre, the whole thing. So we're breaking up with Europe, and we came back to what America is with the Trump election, at least like kind of with our morals and America first and all, and honoring the Lord and the White House, where Europe was taking a hard totalitarian turn, like with the New World Order, will allow no opposition to win. So this is big time changes, folks. Big. Big. And the Chinese are collapsing their economy. I mean, it was in trouble now with Trump with the tariffs. It's in, and today they're having meeting. The Chinese capitulated today. And this weekend is sending delegations to the White House, and they're going to hammer out a whole new economic, way of doing business with the United States and the world. So Trump held a position there, and at this point he's won. The Chinese capitulated. I heard it on the news today. They're sending a delegation here this weekend to work out the tariff situation, the economics with Trump. But they're in big trouble. Communism is coming down. It's coming down, folks. God's destroying it. He's melting it away. And then this new pope, the old pope couldn't go into, to be the leader of the Whore of Babylon. Mm-hmm. This pope here, I thought he was young. He looks young to me, what I've seen, but he's like 70 years old. He didn't look it. Mm-hmm. So there we are, Sister Kathy. Things are changing. Iran,
yes,
is calcitrant. They are not. They are going to go full speed for those nuclear weapons. Israel said they're going to obliterate Hamas, that Hamas cannot stay, and they gave Hamas 2 weeks to turn over the remaining hostages. Hamas said they're not doing it. Mm-hmm. We obliterated huge sections of the Houthis, and they kind of sued for peace. They told Trump, we won't attack the shipping anymore. Just leave us alone. So, I mean, incredible things are happening. But there's a war on the horizon with Iran. There has to be. Iran can, God will not allow them to get those nuclear weapons and use them against Israel. So there we are, folks. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And I don't know if I'm keeping you update with this, but there is there's a request in Pakistan. Every time I go to speak now, the pastors that are there want the brochures. So there's a request for 320,000 brochures in Pakistan and 100,000 in India. Now, that's not counting Bishop Reinhardt. I mean, right now, I'd say Bishop Reinhardt, how many Broken Hearted brochures could you use? You probably say 100, 200,000. So it's incredible, folks.
You know, yes, it is.
400, the request right now combined, that's not even asking Pastor Zephaniah. It's 420,000 brochures from Pakistan and India. Isn't that exciting? I mean, it has impact on people. It's impacting. It's winning. Well, not only Muslims, but Hindus and Buddhists and pagans and all, it's winning them to the Lord. And it's edifying the church. The Looking for the Blessed Hope brochure is, well, it's doing good for everyone, but the church was really edified with this, particularly in Pakistan, looking for the blessed hope. And in fact, let me, I'll show you the brochures at the last meeting we had in Pakistan where they requested 80,000.
Wow.
That's the one I'm going to show you the pictures because I showed it last night at the Word of Life. They showed the brochures, I mean the brochures being handed out. Okay, this should do it here. Oh, there it is.
And Twizzle said the Pope is 69 years old.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay, now this is Pastor Shabazz. He works with us in the ministry, and what he's holding up in the air is this here, the way they set it up in Urdu language. You can't see it. My brochure, that's how. So he's holding it up and he's showing it to the people.
Right.
And then down below, you have to look carefully and you see the people holding the brochures.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see it?
Okay.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the pastors are all to your right. I don't know if you can see them there, but the pastors are to the right. And that's when it was all over, they contacted Jamil, and one pastor said, well, I can use 5,000 for my church. Another one said, 10,000 and all. So when you added it up, it was 80,000. Isn't that nice?
It is. It is. It is indeed.
Oh, okay, there it is. Okay, here it is. I just can't get this out. That's the pastors. That's the pastors all over there. See, they're holding the brochure up. It'll come back. Play it again. Yeah, there they are right there. The pastors. Isn't that nice?
Amen.
I like that.
And there's one here about them handing it out right at the end. They're handing it out to the people. Yeah, I there's another video, but I don't think I can show it to you here. Oh, tonight's show. No, I can't get it over to you. So anyways, you saw it. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just wonderful. I mean, it's such a blessing to think I could write something, from thoughts in my head. And obviously the Lord was like, blessing it, because here it's winning. We know Evangelist John came to the Lord through the writings, and other evangelists and Buddhists through the Broken Heart brochure in Sri Lanka, and what's happening in Pakistan, India, with the especially the brokenhearted. That's all they want in India. With Bishop Reinhardt, all they want is the brokenhearted. In fact, all his churches, that's their main message, is Luke 4:18.
Mm.
All right. So any comments there from everything I'm sharing?
I just think it's wonderful what's going on. The people wanting to know about the Bible. They want to know about our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're coming.
We lost you, Sharon. Sharon, if you can hear us, your voice dropped off.
Oh, okay. I mean,
yeah, go ahead. I hear you now.
Okay, yeah. And so I just am so happy just to know that this is happening and that we're able to see what's going on and stuff. And I just thank you for that, Chaplain John. And like Twizzle is able to give us more information as you're talking, about the World's Fair and stuff, and just everything. It's just I don't want to say it's overwhelming or anything like that, but I just think it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Well, Sister Kathy and myself, we are twins in a sense. Is that right, Sister Kathy? Mm-hmm. Where you like
kindred spirits.
Kindred mm-hmm. spirits. Because she likes to, she's got like a historian at heart and dig in and get yeah. pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love to do it. It's like a, bloodhound on the scent.
Yeah.
And right. So right here, you know, it's like treasure to me finding that Twizzle found that picture. Cause I looked, I did spend time. I don't know where she got it from, but, and then Zephaniah finding it over the pictures and all over in Kenya. It's like a hunt. And you go. Because I went to, it was a feeding frenzy when I went to the Jewish archives in Cincinnati, of all places.
Mm.
And I went in there about Camp Siegfried. And I found I kind of like criticized them. I said, well, you've got these pile of, look at these banners that you have here and these original, like just original things all in this big pile. I said, shouldn't you like protect them and put them in some, she said, we can't, we have so much material here. And I said, wow. So I ended up taking pictures and all of fantastic things. And I had to go from Harrisburg to Cincinnati, you know, stay overnight and all, but it was worth it. I got these fantastic pictures from this archive there. So yeah, when you write and you have you're writing a book and you could see the picture fitting in the book. And then, you know, you go on the hunt for it and you find it. In fact, I had to go back to New York to go to Suffolk County to get the tax records of Adolf Hitler Street. It was still the official name. If you own property there in Yaphank, it's called Camp Siegfried. No, they call it Sherman Heights, I think. Now. And that one street, Oak Street, if you own property there, you're the map, the deed will be Adolf Hitler Street. So I put that in the book, and that was a huge, I mean, so many people were stunned. And I found pictures of the railroad train coming in, and they were all zigzagging each other. The whole train was rented by the Nazis. And all those pictures I got by going back to New York and going to the Historical Society, and then I went to the where the tax records are to get the maps of Camp Siegfried. So it's like on the hunt, right, Sister Kathy, when you go for those things?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Nothing like it.
And I don't know if you could see here, but I don't know how I got this. But this is in my book, As America's Done to Israel. This picture was taken on the back. It tells you June 14th, looks like 06. But anyways, if you can see it, let me know if you can see the picture, if you can see it. Did it come through yet?
No, you're still looking down.
We're looking at you.
You can see me, Sister Sharon?
Yep,
there it is. Yeah, Park and
there Oak. Okay. Oak Park, yeah.
Now, you see me pointing there?
Yeah.
That's Park Street.
Yep.
Park right. Street is Adolf Hitler Street.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's see, what street? Park and what street?
Oak. Oak. Oak
yeah,
is,
okay.
Oak is Goring. It's either Goebbels or Goring. So I'm standing at the corner. I'm standing at the corner in German Gardens at Oak and Park, which is Hitler and Goring Streets.
And who assigned those names to them?
What happened was they petitioned the town. It was the town of Brookhaven to have like a create a little village. So the town gave them permission, and they named the streets. Adolf, some of them is like German Street, but there's a couple of them: Goring Street, Goebbels Street, and Hitler Boulevard. But what happens is after the war, they never officially removed those names, and they left them. And then someone decided in the town, probably, we're going to rename them. So they renamed it Park and Oak and another one. But the tax map is Hitler Street.
My
son Jesse took that picture. I was with my son Jesse. So, and that this was the same day. I can tell you, it was June 14th, 06. That's when I was in Long Island, back in my roots, and I went to the town of Riverhead, which is the county seat, and I got the map. And Jesse, I met Jesse, because I asked him if he'd take the pictures, and he said he would. He was living in Long Island at the time. So I met him, and he took the pictures, and they're in the book. They're in the book. All right. Oh, Joy is here. Hello, Joy.
Yay. Hello, John.
Yeah, you came in late. I just noticed you.
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear your sharing.
Yeah, good things are happening today, and you kind of miss that. But good things are happening, and the Lord is really blessing. And I don't know how I got into Adolf Hitler Street and all that. It's funny. I find myself, I get into things like this, I have no idea how it started. I don't know. Even if I thought hard, I don't know how I got into all of this. But God is really good when he gives you something like that and you seek him, Sister Kathy. He does.
Oh, yeah.
He does provide, doesn't he? The information you
need.
Yes,
he does. Yes, he does. He gives you little bread trails, and it's just like, yay, here we go, finding more. It's just awesome.
I'll tell you what, also, when I was at the town of Brookhaven, that's where Yap Bank is and Adolf Hitler Street. I had no idea that there were three women there from the Yap Bank Historical Society. So I was dealing with the the town historian, and she's the one that gave me the train picture with the train coming in and all the Nazis on the train, and the Nazis there, they're all Zieg-Heiling each other.
Uh-huh.
And I was not talking to the three other women there. I had nothing to do with them, but I was talking to the the historian, and I said, you know, it's a shame that it's still named Adolf Hitler Street. I said it should be really changed. And these other three women, they came right over and got in my face, and I had a knockdown, drag out battle with them. The town historian.
They didn't think it should.
Oh no, they wanted it kept for historical reasons, and the state of New York tried to change it, like in, I don't know, the 1950s or something, and it was voted down. They wanted to keep Adolf Hitler Street there. So, oh yeah, they were telling me. I said no. I said too many people died over that name. I said it should be. Look, you got the historical records. You got it. You don't need to keep it.
Yes.
Get rid of it. Oh, they were in my face. It was a real. They wouldn't back up an inch. They were nasty. They looked old and wrinkled and mean. They were.
Yeah. Scary women.
So the other woman, the historian, she said to me, "Oh, you got everything you need." And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Okay, I'll walk you out." So she walks me out.
Was she worried about your safety?
Well, here's what happened. She said, "Oh, I'm so glad you talked to them like that. I can't
Good.
She goes, "I can't do it, but they needed to hear what you said." She said, "Oh, it was wonderful." Thank you. Thank you. I said, "They were the nastiest, cranky." I said, "They even look mean." She said, "Yeah, they are. They are." I said, "Well," she said, "thank you. Thank you for telling them that. Thank you." I said, "Okay, you're going to make me feel real good." So, okay. Well, we had quite a night tonight. We covered a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. But I will have, Lord willing, I will have Revelation 21. And I'm thinking about looking for, because I know I've seen them, some real nice artist rendition of, like, in the New Jerusalem, the Tree of Life and the water that's coming from the throne there. And I'd like to include them. I'll do research, see if I can find pictures like that.
Amen.
And I want to get one picture. I'd have to probably capture it of the palm tree in like the New Jerusalem. And if I can get it like in, because there is the Holy of Holies in New Jerusalem also that just doesn't have the veil. But I'd like to get it in where the Holy of Holies is, show how significant it is to the Lord. You know, the palm tree, the date palm tree. The Lord loves that tree. He really does. Okay, well, we'll call it a night. Thank you for coming. And like
thank
I said,
you.
Yeah, we covered a lot of... Oh, and you, Sister Kathy, did you say you sent me something from Twizzle?
The one above what Gigi had, the one that you showed... Right above that is the one that if you put that bottom underline with the dot 64, that'll pull up all the stuff from the, you know, that she found from the, she's a lawyer. She's used to researching and finding stuff. So
yeah,
that's how, when she's on the job, it gets done.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, tomorrow morning we have prayer. And Pastor Dove is coming. And then after I finish prayer with him, Dove lives just about, with no traffic, just about an hour from me. So I'm going down to his place and we're going to shoot two of his shows. Blessing Israeli Believers and Watch Therefore. And then he's all excited. He's all excited in coming down because when we finish, we go to a Texas barbecue place.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so he's
telling up to
me,
eating, huh?
Yeah, he's telling me. He said, he goes, and then after we finish, we're going to go to the barbecue place, right? I said, oh, yeah, good, good. He said, I'll see if my wife wants to come.
That's so neat.
All right, because I'm going to tell you a story now. You ready, Sister Sharon?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, this is especially for Sister Sharon because she likes my storytelling.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So I went to Israel with Pastor Dove. It was like 2005, somewhere around there. Because he was telling me about all the believers in Israel, and I thought he was talking about a tour, and I didn't want to go on a tour. I'd been there already. So he says, no, I want you to meet Israeli believers. So I said, okay. Yeah. So we went there, and we had a wonderful time, really wonderful time. So when we're leaving, if you're with a tour group, it's easy to get in and out of Israel. But I was with Dove, just the two of us. So they separated us and they started to grill me about being in Israel. They said, where did you stay? I said, I didn't know. No, they said, what do you mean you didn't know? I said, yeah, I was staying with friends. I came with a friend, and he has friends that live. What's their names? I said, I don't know. Oh, my goodness. So they were grilling me left and right. And I'm telling them, I don't know. They called a superior came in, and they're grilling me. And then another superior came in, and I said, look, they can't hold me here. I didn't do anything wrong. I said, I'll ask for the embassy or something. I thought they were really going to, like, I don't put me in jail, but I said, look, I pointed the dough and I said, I came with him. He has all friends and family here. So you didn't stay in a hotel. I said, no. So they asked me, someone asked me, there's a whole gang of them grilling me. Sister Sharon, you see, I mean, what happens? How many people go to Israel and something like this happens?
So nobody.
Right, exactly. So they said to me, did you learn any Hebrew while you were here? And I said, oh, yeah. What? I said, Abba and Ima. And they started laughing. Oh, my goodness. They all started laughing. So they finally brought him over, and he explained it to them. Well, of course, they were grilling him, but he could answer everything. To make a long story short, we ended up missing the flight. On it.
Oh, wow.
So we go. Now it gets worse. No, was it the next day? I think it was the next day. We take a taxi to the airport, and we didn't know it was an Arab taxi. So we didn't know the driver was an Arab, but they could tell by the license plates, we found out. So we stopped, and I figured, oh, we'll get out. They'll see my American passport, and everything is fine. No. They took all our luggage out. They went through all our luggage. This is before we got to the airport. And there was one Israeli agent there. He had a F-16 over his shoulder. I mean, he was ready. He was ready to go, that gun. So I go, what's going on here? So we get back into the car, and the taxi driver starts apologizing to us. I'm sorry this happened to you. I'm sorry this happened. I'm sorry, but you know, this is an Arab taxi. So Dove says, well, we didn't know that. He says, they did that to you because I'm an Arab and you were in my taxi. He said, we have special license plates. He knew by the license plates. This is me trying to get out of Israel. I got layers of their internal security of holding me up. And then I got this Israeli agent there at the as we come into, not the terminal, we were coming into the airport. He's got his M16 looking at me, ready to. So we go in there. Oh, so we had to stay overnight because we missed the flight. And they were very nice. The Israeli Airlines, we flew Lufthansa. They were very nice about it. And they said, we'll get you tomorrow. You can come tomorrow. So we ended up, and then they gave us accommodation to go to the King David Hotel in Tel Aviv. So we went there. So in the morning, Dov is a big, big eater. Big eater. And it doesn't gain any weight. So we're in the hotel, and I had the meal brought to my room. So he calls me up, and he said, my food will be here soon. Do you want to come down and eat with me? I said, well, I just ate. He said, well, come down and we can talk. So I come down. I'm there 1 minute. There's a knock on the door. Three or four, no, they're not chefs. They come in. They roll in this big, like two of these big carts that you hold food on. And they had Dove had this big, like, table there in his room. His room was bigger than mine. They covered the table with food, covered it. I said, Dove, are you going to eat all that? And he's looking at it and he goes, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to eat all of that. He had everything you could think of. He ordered everything. So, he says, he's looking at it. And I said, you know what the Bible calls this? And he said, no. And I said, well, in the King James, it's called suffering. He goes, what's that? I said, gluttony. He said, oh, man, you just ruined my breakfast. Oh, he said, oh. He said, it's gluttony. So we go to the airport, and I'm dealing with the they had me go with this woman. Pulled me out of line. I had to go with this woman. So she says to me, you were online. She started to describe this guy. And I said, yeah, he's the one that I was with. Oh, he's cute. She says to me, I, he's cute. I like him. She said, I'm going to walk back with you to the line because of this guy. They're young, both of them are young. So I was standing there and I said to him, she was behind me and she couldn't hear. And I said, she really likes you. And I was pointing to her. I said, she really likes you. And he goes, no, don't say me that. Don't tell me that. Don't. This is like, when do you ever hear things like this? Right? So I said, yeah, she really thinks you're cute. No, don't tell me. I won't even look at her. He says, I won't even look at her. So I go to get on the plane and they look at my ticket and all and they pull me out. They pull me out and I said, hold on. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong here. So I go, oh no, what's going on now? And they said, oh, okay. Here, someone's going to escort you on the plane. So they go down, they get on the plane and they said, yeah, you have, you've been changed to first class. That guy changed me. When I told him about the girl liked him, he put me on first class.
That's funny.
So Dove says, what's going on? What's going on? I said, he transferred me here to first class. He goes, wow. So about 5 minutes later, there's on the intercom on the plane, it says, would Dove Schwartz please come forward? So he comes forward and he said, what's going on? They said, oh, we're moving you to first class. So he sat next to me on first class. The guy put us together, that guy. And the very first thing, the wheels of the plane weren't off the ground, barely off the ground. And the stewardess comes and she says to me, do you want anything to eat? And here's the menu. I said, no, I'm really full. Dove just, we just came. He ate everything you could think of. And he says, oh, yeah. He says, I'll take this. And I'll take, he took everything on the menu. Oh, it was so funny. I still teach him about that. I still teach him about that. The event that we had in Israel. And just trying to get out of the country, I ended up in an Arab taxi with almost, it felt like they were holding guns on, well, on me and Dove, that we were, you know, terrorists or something. But
so they never did tell you what they thought you were guilty of?
No, I was clear. Dove was able to explain to them, you know.
But I mean, for the original reason of pulling y'all out to grill you anyway.
Because it was unusual, kind of me by myself. You know, and I wasn't an Israeli.
Okay. And they thought you were trying to learn Hebrew for some.
They were testing me. They said, well, when you were here and you were with the Israelis, did you learn Hebrew? And I said, yes. And they said, what? And I said, Abba and Ima. I got them to laugh at that. I got them to laugh at that.
Mm-hmm. Good gracious.
Someday, in the morning when Dove comes in, or maybe tomorrow, I'll tell him all the stories I was about him and me there coming, trying to get out of Israel. And and I'll say, do you remember the suffering, Dove? Do you remember?
Oh, man. And he is so small. You know, not small, but not large, overweight, or anything.
He's deceptive. He's a powerful man. He really is. Mm. He lifted a lot of weights in his day. He's a powerful man. Mm. All right, now, Sister Sharon, on a scale of A being the highest and D being the lowest, how was that story for you?
That would be A minus.
Okay. I'll try with more enthusiasm to get it to be an A plus.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought A plus wasn't in my range that you allowed.
Oh, sure, I'll allow an A plus on my story. But
okay,
through the years, you've heard these stories. And I'm telling you, it happens to me. It happens.
Oh, yeah.
And no one has problems. I mean, I'm sure they stop other people, but the way it went, and then I had the airlines was very nice, or maybe it was the Israeli government. I'm not sure, but they put us up in the King David Hotel, which is really nice. But we missed the flight, and then
for their fault, yeah.
And then I go from, you know, regular to first class. Because I'm telling that young man behind the counter, because that she followed me out. She said, "Oh, I want to be there when you're talking to him." She really liked this guy. I'm telling you, she really likes you. And I'm like this. I'm going, "She really likes you." And I'm pointing. And he goes, "Stop talking like that." He put his head down. No, stop it. Don't talk like that. He's going. I said, "Yeah, she really likes you. I'm telling you." I played Cupid.
You're just a jack of all trades over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling Dove he's suffering. And I got the Israeli military at the airport. They got their guns ready to level them on me. All right, everybody. And I even was at Adolf Hitler Street
in New York.
Yep.
Yeah.
We went to the World Fair and Adolf Hitler Street one night.
Well, no, it wasn't one night.
And
no.
Israel. And Israel.
Yeah.
One night of memories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, memories. Yeah. That's too much. I'm really happy. I am really happy tonight. Because it's a wonderful day.
Yes.
Wonderful
yes,
day.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that pastor's heart was really healed. I mean, really healed.
And, you know, that there's going to be so many little ministers. What do you call that when there's propagated? There's just going to be so many in motion when you lay hands on them and all.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that any of them that's hearts are broken will be healed, and it'll have that impact from the pulpit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay. I am going to go ahead to sleep. I have an otherwise appointment in the morning. So.
Me too. I got appointments all morning.
What time, Sister Sharon?
Well, I know I have the aides coming at noon.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure what time. I don't know what time the wound specialist is coming. It could be anywhere from 10 to 4. So I just, and then my mother wishes to come and look at the wound tomorrow. So I got to make sure I get her over here. It's just going to be a crazy day.
Well, if you're available, as soon as we start the show, we'll get you to pray first.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be there. I'll be there to pray in the morning.
Now, Sister Kathy, you going to be able to be there tomorrow?
I'm hoping so, because my appointment's at 9, and I'm hoping that they'll be through by 10.
Is that the test we prayed for you for?
Well, it's just the well check for the for the social not Social Security. You know, you have to do the yearly exam, and
yeah.
that they're, I'm a new patient there. So they are going to, they said they'd have to do some other stuff, but I'm going to just see. Cause
yeah.
But I'm going to be well, big and brave.
If you're not there, I won't set past the Dovo. So
I'm going to try to be.
No, but
I'll be there before 11 anyway.
I want Sister Sharon you have to be available because there was a woman suffering from the Jerusalem syndrome. You know what the Jerusalem syndrome is?
Nope.
The Jerusalem syndrome is people that are normally sane and all that, they go mm-hmm. to Jerusalem. They go crazy.
Okay.
They go absolutely crazy. And Jews think that they are Elijah. And the Gentile, the Christians, believe they're one of the two prophets of Revelation chapter 11.
Right.
But this is a woman, and she thought mm-hmm. that she was literally the bride of Christ.
Mm.
And she was talking to me. And I said, no. I pointed to Dold. And I said, now you want to go over and talk to him? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
I signed her on Dold. Oh, my goodness. So I want you to hear that, too. This is in Israel. Yeah. We're in Jerusalem.
Okay.
Oh, I got lots of stories to tell you. And about the car I drove was possessed.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember that. It just took off. It had a life of its own.
Yeah. 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 So, all right. God bless everybody. Now you're going to, I'll be up all night thinking of more stories.
Yeah, I know. That's right. And excited about the Messiah stuff. Oh, my goodness. That is awesome.
I'm going to say God bless everybody.
Right.
And
God
thank you to Father God for tonight. Thank you, dear Father God. That we could come together in Abba Father. We could pray together. We could hear these wonderful stories.
Amen.
And we are together, and we will be together again in the morning. And God bless everybody in Abba Father.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Just in closing, how many times do you hear someone minding their own business goes to a historian there where all the records are, talking to the historian, and next thing I know, I'm in this verbal fight with three women at our other yelling at me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get pulled out of it. The historian pulls me out. She actually grabbed me
and thanks you
and thanked me for it. I'm not, these things happen with me. I was minding my own business, and next thing and they were all over me, yelling at me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
I have that magnetism too. They call me a nut magnet, and they gravitate to me. So it's crazy. Well, love y'all. See
God
you
God bless
tomorrow.
You now. Bye.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave life everlasting, gave life everlasting, his life everlasting, his life everlasting. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son.